Welcome to hour number three. My name is Jim Rome. All right, so let me set it up for you really quickly. What I want to do to start the third hour is keep the phone lines open. Roll a few telephone calls, having some fun with that. It's always been a momentum play. When there's a good phone call, sometimes it feeds into another good phone call, and you got to play the hot hand, right? It's like sitting at a table at Vegas or in a casino, wherever. You know it's going to run out at some point, but you want to keep hammering that thing until you hit a cold spell. That's how the phone calls are on this show. So if you're on hold, there's a good chance you will get on the air. Right? I'm not being subtle about that at all. If you're on hold, there is a good chance you're going to get on the air, and it's going to happen this segment. Coming up next segment, a conversation with Bills wide receiver Gabriel Davis. Things that I still want to get to. The Clippers. I talked about the Lakers and LeBron getting a new deal. AD gets a new deal. I'm going to argue that on paper, they're better now than they were last year when they won it all. So they're the team to beat once again, and what we're talking about is a team that not only has a good look at it, a really good look at it, but we might be talking about a mini dynasty. And LeBron's got a couple of years, AD gets a five-year deal, and LeBron's got a lot of reasons still to play and things to play for. Then you got the Clippers, and the fallout continues from their choke job. And Paul George is now talking, and he's saying the types of things you expect him to say. Today's been so busy, I haven't even had a chance to get into the Westbrook Wall trade. And these two guys, man, Russ and John, they had to be traded for one another because nobody else was going to trade for either one of them. And that's not me. I'm not here to crack those guys. Two nice players with question marks at this point, but two nice players, really good players. But you weren't going to find somebody to trade for either one of them, so they had to be traded for each other. Haven't even gotten to that yet. 1-800-636-8686. But like, so many good things to get to, but good phone calls, so I want to play the hot hand. Let's go to the phones. Always dangerous, but I'm going to roll telephone calls. Let's go to Frank in Pennsylvania to start hour number three. What's going on, Frank? How are you?
Okay, Jim. Love the show, but enough with the basketball. That sissy game. You tell me you're going to pay somebody $50 million to throw a ball through a hoop and nobody's allowed to touch him while he's doing it? Come on. Basketball is a playground game, a girl's game.
My man, listen.
The ball, somebody hits his pinky. Oh my God! Okay, well, you get to stand over here now, and I guarantee you,
My man,
you don't like that.
Hey, Frank, here's how it is.
Not a very good.
Here's how it is, Frank. I like you. I like you. I don't like your take, but I like you. Let's just say you and I agree to disagree. Come on, man. You just said to me basketball is a girl's game or a sissy's game. The guys are paid $50 million to put a ball in a hole and you can't touch them. I don't know, Frank. You take a look at LeBron James. I don't see anything sissy about LeBron James. I don't know, bro. Why don't you roll up on Rick Mahorn and call him a sissy? Why don't you tell Charles Oakley that he plays a girly game? See how that goes for you. Come on, Frank. I'm not saying that it's the most violent sport there is. I'm saying it's a contact sport, and it's a great sport with really physical people playing it. And if you got a problem with the guy making 50 mil that you, quote, can't touch, how about the guy who's paying him the 50 mil? If a guy makes 50 mil, how much money do you think the guy paying him is making that's not getting touched? We need to do better. Let's keep moving. 1-800-636-8686. Mike in the Bay. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Pimp, what's up?
What's up? What's up?
Training camp, slipping around the NBA, Jimmy. And my legs are once again looking like title favorites. All's as it should be, but I don't want to talk about LeBron's deal or AD, Jim. I want to talk about KCP. Kentavious Caldwell Pope, my guy. Did you see this dude rolling into practice rocking his brand new KCP designer tee and matching logo silver chain? Wait, what? Do we need to add this guy to the Do Not Self Gloss Club? I mean, give this scrub some bleeping credit for real. His stat line from last season was thinner than Kirstie Alley's Weight Watcher checks. KCP would be flying rubber dog to Hong Kong if it weren't for his agent LeBron. Rich Paul. Dude got paid, and rightfully so, but that doesn't make him Roger Federer. War KCP stepping over Ty Lue this season at Staples out.
That was like the best bad call in a long time. The best bad call in a long time. Just like this is the best bagged segment in a long time. This is why sometimes I got to roll telephone calls. You never know what you're going to get, just that it's not going to be good. Let's keep going. We go to Reading. Bobby in Reading. Hey, Bobby, how are you?
I'm pretty good, Jim. First time caller, pretty excited. I just wanted to call to annihilate Tom Brady. Today is the luckiest and least talented quarterback in the top 10. The dude's been playing basically in this year's NFC East for his whole career. His first Super Bowl, he gets it there due to the tuck rule, and his defense holds the greatest show on turf to 17. Then he beats who? Jake Delhomme and Donovan McNabb in his Super Bowls right before Dan Quinn and Pete Carroll give him two more. The dude's a scrub. He's overrated. He's not as talented as half the league all time, and I have to listen to Skip Bayless every day call him the GOAT. It's disgusting.
Rack him, I guess, for the absurdity of it all. It's like the most absurd argument ever, and he made a pretty good argument. You know what I'm saying? Actually, no, I take that back. It's the most absurd take ever, but he made a pretty good argument for the most absurd take ever. So what do we have this segment? We have somebody saying that basketball is a sport played by sissies, and that Tom Brady is in fact a no-talent hack who's the most overrated guy ever, who just kind of fell into six rings. This is what you get when you open the telephone calls, or you open up the phone lines and just bang telephone calls. See, now what's good about this, a lot of you are intimidated and don't want to call and think that you're not good enough. Actually, you are, because listen to the crap that we're slinging here. Listen to who's getting on the air. Pretty much anybody and everybody. So pick up the phone and call now. It's like an impromptu free-for-all. It almost doesn't even matter what you want to say. We'll put you on the air. Obviously, if I'm putting people on the air that are saying things like basketball is a game for sissies and Tom Brady is a no-talent hack who lucked his way into GOAT status, clearly I'll take a phone call from anybody. Let's go to San Diego. I mean, it is America's finest city, and I mean that. Let's go to Veronica.
War Lady Clones.
War Lady Clones. Veronica, what's going
hey,
on? How
Jim?
Are you?
Hey, Jim. I was just calling because I love your show, and I'm a new fan. And I was just wondering what stem cells do to your junk.
You were wondering what?
What do stem cells do for your junk?
What do stem cells do to your junk? Veronica, thank you very much. That's a great question. I've never done it, Veronica. My next podcast guest has Ben Greenfield. And you'll have to listen to find out. I personally do not have experience with stem cell. I really do not have experience with injecting my junk with stem cell. I don't have any experience with injecting my junk with anything. I'm going to stop. I would love to say what just popped into my head. Anyway, what's popping, Twitter? We love new listeners. That's Veronica in San Diego. Veronica, thank you so much. In case you're joining us late, why she asked that? I have a guest that, among other things, has experimented with lots of different things, including injecting his junk, and I'm not being flip about this. Like he's a journalist, and there was a reason he did it, and he explained why he did it and what the effect was. That podcast is not live yet. I have no idea what it does. I haven't done it. Let's go to Texas. Johnny in Texas. Hey, Johnny, how are you?
Hey, Jimmy, it's good to holler at you. How you doing today?
Good, dude. How about you?
Good, fantastic. Hey, listen, war outside sales over 20 years. Don't know how I got into it. With a journalism degree, I wanted to do something like you, but that never happened. Now I'm knocking on doors for a living. Hey, Jim, I got some good news for the clones. 12 Woods coming back tomorrow night, 10 o'clock Central. The only problem with 12 Wood coming back is Kenny's getting bumped again. Kenny's getting bumped so often that even Amdy thinks that he's got it going on. Hey, Jim, last thing, I want to shout out to Wells and Jeremy. Man, those two dudes, those guys know how to really beef, like really beef. In fact, they know how to beef so well. When I walk into my neighborhood bar, the proprietor says, oh, man, business is about to pick up because the ladies are coming in. I'm
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call.
Johnny, no offense, bro. When you say you don't know how you ended up knocking on doors for 20 years, I do. No offense, bro. Let's go to St. Louis quickly. Rob, it's good to have you. Rob, how are you?
Good. Jim, love your show. Awesome stuff every day. Couldn't be more pleased to listen to you. I want to talk about the Raiders. All this hype about the Raiders, all this overpaid John Gruden, washed-up quarterback Carr, a team that underperforms against everybody else in the NFL, plays over their head versus the Chiefs. They make me laugh. They've lost to the Chiefs for the better part of 20 years. And when I hear Gruden's junk and all the Raiders dancing around the field and certainly Chiefs Stadium, I laugh my ass off. Have a great day.
Good job, dude. Rack him. That's a good take. Thank you, Rob. I appreciate what you had to say about me and the show, too. Thank you very, very much. I would respond, but I'm just rolling through telephone calls, having some fun doing it, too. Quickly, let's see. Carlin Prescott tweets, is today the hack-off? No. I mean, some of those were hack-off worthy, but some were good. At Norton RVA tweets, love this new horrid take segment. It's not what that is. It's me banging telephone calls. It was impromptu. I did not expect it. That's the best time to do it. That's when it works best, when it's not scheduled, when I'm not reliant or dependent upon it, but rather I just want to do it. And it's spontaneous. Stucknut, quote, this is a really weird segment. You know why? Because I'm taking telephone calls. That's what makes it weird. Get your ass back to archiving, Steven. Back to the phones. Let's go to Niagara Falls. Diane. It's good to have you, Diane. How are you?
War Lady Clones.
Damn,
how are you? Not going to take too much to elevate these calls, but anyway, I just want to call because today is the 5th anniversary of the passing of the Big Horse, Cher Belief, who is definitely the equine epitome of Jim Rome. Maybe he was small in stature, but big in heart. I want to thank you so much for sharing the guts of gelding with him, with us. Love that horse. You could tell that you loved him, too, every time you spoke about him. And wreck me for the Big Horse. Thanks again, Jim. Take care to you and the clones. Everybody on the team. Bye.
Thank you, Diane. You know what? It's a really weird thing about the Big Horse. So Shared Belief passed away 5 years ago today. I got to be honest with you. I didn't know. Like, I know the day, but I never know the day. Like, this happens every single year, and James Kelly, only Ike, War Lady Clones, like, she calls up to talk about, and she's choked up already, and I'm choking up thinking about it, and old man Ike just can't wait to hammer War Lady Clones before she's going to talk about the passing of Shared Belief. Old man, can you not see the call screener? Like, you know what she's going to talk about, dude. Are you kidding me with that? Ike? Crazy Ike, man. Sometimes, dude, you are a caveman. You are so dense. Dude, talk about being tone deaf, Ike. Like, I'll excuse a lot of things that you do, bro. Don't hammer War Lady Clones before Lady Clone is going to choke up and share her thoughts on the past. Anyway, Ike, just stop doing crap like that, man. So, strangely, I never know the day, and I know the day. And generally, somebody like Diane will call up and say, hey, Jim, just want to share my thoughts on Cher Belief, who passed away on this day 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago. And nobody in the group ever really talks about it. And James Kelly always knows. James Kelly loved the Big Horse, and he won't bring it up with me. He's like, yeah, boss, I figured you know, and if you want to talk about it, you will. Anyway, really quickly, so share belief, man, it's hard to imagine 5 years ago. But again, really quickly, I'll never forget what happened. I was at work and I got a telephone call from Alex Solis. And Alex Solis was the one who found Share Belief. Share Belief was already a racehorse. He had won a race. And Alex had hit me up and said, look at this horse. You want to buy this horse with us? You can be the majority owner. Anyway, Alex was the one who found the horse, and we had this amazing ride with Shared Belief, and Shared Belief was the top-ranked thoroughbred in the entire world. He was the best racehorse in the entire world, not in the country, but in the world. But then Alex called me up one morning during the show, and I knew it was bad news, because a lot of times in horse racing, when you get news, it's bad news. But Alex would not be calling me at that time during the show unless it was bad news. And he said, the big horse is really sick. I said, how sick? He said, it's bad. And I said, how bad? He said, they're rushing him to the clinic. He may not make it. And then Share Belief passed away. He had colic. And I'm not going to lie, it took me, I'm still not right? Like, you never get over certain things. Yeah, Rome, it's a freaking horse. Yeah, if you don't know, you don't know. I can't explain it to you. But those who know, know. But the one thing about it, I would say really quickly as I go to break, Share Belief was so fierce. Dude, she goes, Jim Rome, you're the equine version of him. Smaller in stature, but with a fierce heart. Share Belief was a really small horse, but he was the ultimate gladiator and fearless. And I used to watch him in the paddock before races, just kind of puff up. Like, he knew, all the great ones knew. He knew go time. He knew when it was time to go. He didn't know what his size was. He didn't know any of that. He just knew he was going to beat somebody's ass. He was going to run somebody's ass into the ground, and did 10 times in 12 races. So RIP to the big horse. Some of the finest moments of my entire life revolve around that animal. And some of the saddest moments of my entire life revolve around that animal. Man, I wish, clones, if you'd been around him, you would sense it. You'd have a different appreciation for the horse and for the animal. Anyway, Diane, thank you very much. Hey, Rit, thanks for almost ruining that moment. Come on, man. Pull your bald head out your ass, Rit. When we come back, it's all right, Rit. You're forgiven. You can't help yourself, dude. He waxed California Chrome. You chromies hated that, man. You chromies hated that. Making your excuses. Your horse was short. He needed another work. Your jockey moved too soon. Come on, man. Take that ass kicking like it was. Own it. The better horse, I'll give you this, chromies. I'll even qualify it so it makes you feel better. The better horse that day. Does that make you feel better? The better horse that day. But make no mistake about it. The better horse that day won geared down. Chrome's a great horse, though. Chrome was a great horse. Let's get out. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Jim Rome, rolling right through it. If you know anything about this house, you know this is a big Buffalo Bills house. I might be in Cali, but we have long had a station in Buffalo, and we talk Bills football. So I'm very pleased to say we are joined right now by a wide receiver for the Bills, coming off a game where he had 3 receptions for 79 yards and a TD in Sunday's win. On the season, 22 receptions, 354 yards, and 4 touchdowns. He was a 2-time all-conference player at UCF. He was the 128th pick in this year's draft. Buffalo, 8-3 on the year. They're in first in the AFC East. They're at San Francisco on Monday night. Gabriel Davis is my guest. Gabe, it's good to have you on. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good, good. All right, so let me start here. You had another big game on Sunday and that win over the Chargers. I want to ask you about a particular play, though, on that touchdown pass you caught from wideout Cole Beasley. What's going through your head when the play was called, and then what did you make of the ball that Beasley threw?
What was going through my head, you know, just sell it well, make it look real, make it look like a bubble so they can shoot. You know, obviously, you know, we sold it good enough to make them all shoot and then take off down the side. As soon as I seen Cole throw it, all I know is I need a ball just, you know, in my radius, and I knew I was going to catch it, and, you know, he threw it, you know, on the money.
Hey, listen, I know you got to make a play no matter what, right? No matter what, you're looking to make a play, but the fact is you were wide open. You made it look pretty easy. At the same time, is there any more pressure catching a pass from a fellow wideout on a trick play than just some standard play from Josh Allen? As an example, Beasley had not thrown a pass since high school. Is there any pressure not to let your fellow receiver down?
No pressure. I know if we're able to execute that play, it's going to be a pretty easy catch. And as soon as I was able to take off down the side of the field, I knew that he was going to be able to throw a dime to me so I could score.
He did, too. Gabriel Davis joining us. So, Gabe, the team is in first place in the division. The talk is not just about making the postseason, but making some serious noise once you get there. How would you describe the vibe around the team right now?
I feel like, you know, we're taking it day by day, week by week. We're just handling what we can handle today and focus on what we can focus now. And, you know, we're just trying to focus on, you know, San Fran this week. It's a big game that we have to play ahead in Arizona. So, you know, just getting ready to play, ready to go, try our best to compete well and get a win.
You know, I'm kind of curious and fascinated by the individual process that certain players have. As an example, one of the things that you've done already since entering the league is you connected with Darian Bryan, who's a personal chef. And I moved this higher up in my research because it's a veteran move. Like most guys that I talk to on this show about diet and having a personal chef say it's something that they only think about once they're in the league for a few years. How did you get this idea of working with a chef right now, and how much has that helped you?
I used to work out with Tom Shaw Performance. Had a great guy named Bert that you know, I'm still with to this day. And that put me around pros very early, and I heard about the massages and the chefs and everything, and that's what guys did in the league to keep their body up. And I know as soon as I heard of a chef around here that's a really good one, I took advantage of it and you know, got in touch with him, and now I'm playing with him just because, you know, you have to sacrifice some things for your body, because your body is your job. And I feel like having a chef that can actually cook you the right food, the right amount of food, is important.
Hey man, body is temple. Your body is your moneymaker. So what types of things do you fuel up with? What do you eat?
You know, chicken, greens, rice. You know, he'll throw in some different type of meats, like some oxtail. That's really well, because he's Jamaican, so he also makes his little special dishes as well. But some cod, that is really good. Real basic stuff, but he puts his own little twang to it that makes it really special.
I like it. Gabe Davis joining us. Also, in terms of your background, you played your college ball, as I mentioned, at UCF. This is also a big UCF house. I've had Scott Frost on. I've had Josh Heupel on numerous times, and we talked about the growth of that program over the past few years. What was it about UCF that made it feel like that was the right place for you, and what was your time like there?
Well, when I was getting recruited there, Scott Frost was there, and, you know, he just made it a real, family type of vibe. And also you can see how close the guys were, you know, just from watching it from the stadium. You can see the brotherhood that they had on that team, and that's one of the biggest things I look for, when going to college. And, you know, that bond, you can't break that bond, and we had a tight bond, and that's why we were so successful all those years.
Then you played with Mackenzie Milton. He suffered that horrific injury 2 years ago where doctors had to save his leg from amputation. He worked his way back. He and the school announced today that he's going to enter the transfer portal with the goal of playing once again. What was your reaction to that news, and what's it say about him as a person that he's come all the way back from that injury?
Well, the decision he made today, you know, was very noble. He has a great friend, DG, that has been doing so well at UCF. He doesn't want to affect anything that he has going on, and he's going to go create his own path somewhere else. That shows what type of guy he is. And nobody knows the amount of work you have to put in when it comes to rehab, and you know, things he had to suffer and things like that. And I just feel for him when it came to that. But, you know, he worked his butt off. He made no excuses, and he was in there every single day, putting the work in, and now he's able to play football. I mean, a lot of people were thinking that he would never even be able to play football again or step on the football field ever again, and now, look, he's transferring because he's now eligible to be on the field and has been doing it, you know, these past couple of weeks.
Gabriel Davis joining us, Buffalo Bill. Now, Gabe, you played your high school ball at Seminole High in Sanford, Florida. You started out as a tight end. You played wide receiver. You moved all over. The story goes that you received 11 offers, but none from a Power 5 program. Your offensive coordinator, Woody Cox, said that one coach told him that they didn't think that you had, quote, the burst. I bring this up because Cox says, quote, that's always my favorite thing to bring up. This kid supposedly didn't have burst. I know college recruiting is a crapshoot. Sometimes it's hard to identify that it factor with guys on film. Gabe definitely has the it factor. Like, Gabe, what did you do with that? What did you think when people doubted you, and did that motivate you?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely did motivate me. You know, I always felt like I was, like you said, not having that burst. I was a slower guy. You know, I wasn't a burner. I wasn't running past you or doing things like that. But I knew I was going to outwork anybody that I was going up against, whether it was my position or someone across from me. And I didn't care who you were, how big your name was, or how many offers you had. I was going to compete, and I was going to win. And that was my mindset through the whole thing. And I was just able to sacrifice the time and put the effort in to get where I'm at today. I mean, it's a lot of work to get here. No one really understands that. And that's why a lot of people don't, you know, really get to where they want to be, because they don't understand the sacrifice, the time, the effort, the commitment, the consistency, the determination you need to have to live your dreams. And, you know, I was blessed to have the mindset to learn that at a young age.
You nailed that. You said that perfectly. The only thing missing to me in that was something Cox said about you. He said, the guy's relentless. He's relentless. He used that word, and he was really emphatic about it. You said you were blessed to learn that at a young age. How did you learn that? When did you learn that? Where did that relentless attitude come from?
That came from watching my mom take care of me, my brother, and my sister. You know, working two jobs, being gone from 7, not getting home till 10, 11 o'clock at night. You know, still trying to do the best she could to support us. Watching her consistently commit to us every single day, would take the clothes off her back to make sure that we're happy. You know, she sacrificed a lot that no one ever knows and no one ever understands. And I've seen the determination and the commitment and the consistency, you know, and the relentlessness from her to raise successful kids. And I didn't want to let her down. And neither did my brother or my sister. That's why we're all in the business we're in today. So I give it all to her, you know.
Great response, too. Gabriel Davis joining me for another moment or so. Gabe, so you go to UCF. Brandon Marshall is a UCF legend. He was blown away by your technique coming out of college because you make every route look the same, that consistency you're talking about. You've said, quote, I like to run a big boy slant on 3rd and 3 and 4th and 2, that type of thing. I like to be the conversion guy because at the end of the day, I feel like that's what I've mastered, end quote. I'd make the argument, tell me I'm wrong, but I'd make the argument not every receiver wants to run a big boy slant. What is it that you like about it so much?
You know, I just try to play my type of game. I try to play my type of game. I know I'm not going to, again, like I said, I'm not a burner. I could get past you, don't get me wrong. But, you know, I like to be that guy that can run in the middle and make those big contested plays to be physical. That's the type of player I want to be, and that's what I'm going to try to continue to be every single day. That's just something special to me, you know, especially at UCF. I know when they call slants, the ball's coming to me, and I knew I had to make a play, and I made it every single time. And I'm just real confident in myself when the ball's in the air that I'm going to go get it.
I want to give you credit for something that you would mention, but last month you were able to give back to your high school and also to provide a Thanksgiving meal for the police and the fire departments in Sanford, Florida. What did that mean to you to be able to give back in that way?
You know, it meant a lot because, first off, giving back to my school, I love that school. I mean, I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for that school. And I want to make sure I can give back when I have the opportunity to. I want those guys to do big things, you know, better than what I've done there. And I want them to reach their goal and win the state championship and bring back home a championship to Sanford. You know, that would mean the world to me. And then, you know, helping out with the firemen and the police. You know, no one knows the type of sacrifice they put their lives in every single day to protect the city. You know, I have a great friend, Marcus Byrd, who's a cop in Daytona. And, you know, I know he sees things that not everybody sees every single day. And, you know, I feel like that can put a toll on somebody. And I just want them to know that their work doesn't go unnoticed, and that I want to be able to be there to help whenever I can.
Gabriel Davis, Buffalo Bills wide receiver, the 128th pick in this year's draft. Wise beyond his years. Buffalo's 8-3. They're in first in the AFC East, and they are at San Francisco primetime Monday night. Gabe, appreciate you very much. Great job. Great interview, and nice to have you on. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. Gabe, really impressed with him. Man, that's a really mature young guy. Very focused, very determined. Really like him. Really like his approach. 1-800-636-8686. Again, Mafia, you got to feel good about things. You have to feel good about things. I know that many years in the past you felt great about things, only to get punched in the face. But I'm telling you, you have to feel good about things. You've got so much talent on offense. And that defense has been coming around of late. I like what I see. And I really like what I hear from him. That's an extremely mature young guy, Gabe Davis. All right, we will come back. I mean, dare I take more telephone calls? We haven't rolled or run through this many telephone calls on this show in a long time. Long time. We'll see. I've got an open mind now. I still have not shared my thoughts on the Clippers. Jim Gray, episode 153. Hey, listen, before you decide that that's not something you want to hear, you should listen to that episode. And why would you not want to hear any episode that I do? I mean, there's a reason we do every podcast. There's a reason every single guest gets targeted and selected and put on. This is a really good listen with Jim Gray. If I don't get to that today, I'll probably get to it tomorrow. First up, here's a sports update. All night. Man, Ritt is taking some on social. The most Ritt moment since his last Ritt moment. Incredible. With Merrill Guided Investing, you have the option to work with an advisor at a low cost and minimum. Get started at MerrillEdge.com/investing goals. Merrill Lynch, Pierce, Fenner & Smith Incorporated, both a registered broker dealer and investment advisor, member SIPC. All right, so Ritt is taking some because I went through some telephone calls and Diane called up and said, Jim, I just want to acknowledge that it was this day 5 years ago that shared belief passed. But as she starts to get into this, and you can tell how emotional she is, and she's kind of choking up, and I can't lie to you. Like, when I saw the call and it came up, I'm like, I'm good. It's 5 years. And I started to kind of choke up a little bit myself. I got to admit. And then here's Ritt just hammering a War Lady clone drop on her. To Niagara Falls, Diane. It's good to have you. Diane, how are you?
War Lady clones.
Damn, Ritt.
How are you? Not going to take too much to elevate these calls, but anyway.
Like, I damn Ritt him because I know what's coming. Like Ritt. Like, what a bonehead, man. Ritt, the thing I like about Ritt and the thing that I don't like about Ritt is this. And when I say I like it, I just kind of marvel at it. I've never seen a guy with more unbelievable confidence without the justification than Ritt. I mean, Ritt is walking around with more confidence than and more swagger than any of us could ever hope to have with almost no reason to have it. And he does stuff like that. So he's taking some now. Quote, Romy, Ritt is as tone deaf as they come. Regards, asking a woman if she's pregnant, over-guessing a woman's age, and asking a woman how much she weighs. Signed, Ashley in Nebraska.
Ambi.
How come you're not War Lady cloning that, bonehead?
War Lady clone.
Thank you. Jamie in Green Bay tweets, Ritt. Not reading the situation. Game on.
Game on.
Nate in Appleton. Can you tell that old man Ritt to take it easy on the War Lady clones clip? For God's sake, Diane was almost in tears. And Ritt hits her with the clip. Show some effing respect. For real.
You give them some credit. I mean, for real.
Romy, I have no problem with... Signed, that Pittsburgh Steelers DJ playing down on the corner as a player lay motionless on the field. Down on the corner, out in the street. At 512 Lumber tweets, I am super curious of Alvin DeLauro's reaction to that untimely War Lady Clones blast by Garrett Ritt to Niagara Falls. Diane, it's good to have you. Diane, how are you?
War Lady Clones.
Damn, Ritt.
How are you? Not gonna take
you heard my reaction,
which is
damn,
anyway.
Ritt. Like, damn, Ritt can be translated or decoded as, are you that stupid? Boom. Let's see. One-on-one, 5USA tweets. Garrett Ritt simply can't be trusted. All right, I don't know Alvy. I would get Alvy's reaction, but I don't care because he's not here. It's Thursday. I will get Adam Hawk's reaction. See, Adam Hawk is on the other side of the glass, and he's sitting next to Ritt. Adam Hawk kind of is the de facto guy who runs that side of the glass. Like, Alvin has seniority. He's been here longer. But Adam is the EP on the other side, so he kind of quarterbacks that side of the glass, whether or not he has earned that right or deserves it. But he'll have a take. Like, dude, what was your reaction and what was your conversation with Ritt like when Ritt did that?
I mean, it's just an amazing Garrett Ritt moment. That is quintessential Ritt. And if I can take the listeners behind the curtain, which please. I know that they all like, the call screening process works just like it sounds. People call in, I get their name, their location, what they want to talk about. When Diane told me what she wanted to talk about, I knew that it was a sensitive subject, and we were going to put that call last in the segment. I mean, we're producing the segment. We're going to do the funnier, stupider stuff first, then we'll end with her because it's hard to come back from something like that. She was a perfect phone call to end the segment. That was planned. Garrett knows all of this because you and I are having these conversations out loud and the call screen is shared amongst all of us. So he knows what she wants to talk about. He knows where we're going to place that. There is no place in the world for Garrett to step all over her with a War Lady Clones blast, given what she was about to talk about. Like, why is he doing that? So when you said damn Ritt on the air, I said F Ritt off the air. Like, what are you doing? And then he said to me, Lady Clone caller, Lady Clone button. And I was like, dude, come on. She's about to talk about the horse. Like, what are you doing, man? And Lady Clone caller, Lady Clone button. He's standing by it.
Lady Clone caller, Lady Clone button. That's what you're going with, Ritt. Ritt, if you think that I'm going to let you on the air to defend yourself and make it worse, old man, that ain't happening. He just doubled down on it. Like, even though that went the way it went, and it's so obvious to literally everybody, he's standing by it. Lady Clone. This is why I call you a caveman, caveman. Lady Clone caller, Lady Clone button. Dude, we're talking about my deceased beloved horse. Okay, Lady Clone caller, Lady Clone button. Ritt, I love that horse more than I've loved almost any human being not related to me. In fact, definitely more than any human being not related to me. Okay? Lady Clone caller, Lady Clone button. Dude, did he really say that? Lady Clone caller, Lady Clone button?
That's a verbatim quote. Also, Ritt doesn't waste words. So it was Lady Clone caller, Lady Clone button. The next thing he apologizes for will be the first. He has never apologized for any of that. He is the cockiest, most confident person I've ever been around in
my
life.
For no reason.
And it rubs off on me. Like, I feel better about myself because he doesn't care about...
I feel dumber being around Ritt.
He doesn't care what anyone thinks about him. He's not apologized yet. He loves this segment. When he walks around, I don't know if you've noticed in the office, it's like he glides. It's a saunter. Like, he owns the damn place.
I know.
He's like a peacock walking around.
No,
it's incredible.
Now you can take a bat to this guy's head, and he's like, oh, is that all you got? Next time, get an aluminum bat. Next time, pick up an aluminum bat. To Niagara Falls, Diane. It's good to have you. Diane, how are you?
War Lady Clone.
Damn, Ritt.
How are you?
It really is something else. Like, Ritt knew. Ritt knew. And Ritt's not, he's like, why are you doing this? What do I have to apologize for? Lady Clone, Lady Caller, Lady Button. Incredible. Why is it different? Because it's my deceased horse, my beloved deceased horse. One of the most famous thoroughbreds in the history of the world, man. You know how hard. It was a hard thing. And what's your point? My point is, the horse is gone. It's 5 years. Boy, rid of something else. Anybody else want to react to it? Now, Adam, Adam Hawk just took you inside, behind the curtain. 12 wood. Ritz say, game on at funerals.
Game on. Finally.
Game on. Finally. Finally. You kicked. Finally. You're going in the ground. Ritz going to turn life into like sound drops. Finally. We put you in the ground at a funeral.
Mark it down. That's an H.
512 Lumber is in. Whoa. Adam Hawk just won the first round with a six-punch combo. Wells. Garrett Ritt is my hero. Probably Wells in the 10-20. Good Life Sean says, Ritt is the best thing that has ever happened to Hawk on your show. Adam actually gets to laugh at somebody else. Ritt pushed that button. Damn, Ritt, you are something. For all the ones who get it done, there is Grainger offering supplies and solutions for every industry to help keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or just stop by. Man, now we are officially done. Hey, Ritt, I'll give you this, man. You got me to laugh on the 5-year anniversary passing of our horse. Put a smile on my face, dummy. See you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.